Suicide and intimate partner violence are major public health crises in America, and they're actually closely linked, according to the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. In fact, studies show survivors of intimate partner violence or domestic violence are twice as likely to attempt suicide multiple times, and cases of murder-suicide are most likely to occur in the context of abuse. And this week is National Suicide Prevention Week, so we wanted to do a hyper-focused look at how critical, especially for adults, how critical this point of domestic or sexual violence is when it comes to suicide. Joining us now is Deb Greenwood, the CEO and president of the Center for Family Justice. And Deb, do you find, especially in the last few years, there's been a real uptick in domestic violence rates here in Connecticut specifically? Do you find that suicide is closely linked to this problem?
Hi, Melissa. Yes, just looking at the data, but not, it, well beyond that, what we see that comes through our hotlines here at the Center for Family Justice, as well as most of our domestic violence agencies, which there are 18 in Connecticut. But let's talk about what's happening in the country. There's a significant issue where 50% of women and more than 40% of men have experienced either sexual or physical violence or psychological victimization by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And that was those are the numbers that we see that we can account for from 2021. So you can see this is, you know, coming right smack in the middle of the pandemic. And now as we start to come out of the pandemic, we are going to see, and we have, an increase. There's a 3% that we can measure in suicide deaths that have been reported by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. And the victimization is an increase of risk of fatality that includes suicide death. It includes women, LGBTQ, men, teens, college students, middle school kids, which is terrifying. This is absolutely terrifying to start to see this. So our focus is why? We know that intimate partner violence victimization is associated with an increased risk of depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress symptoms. A lot and most, I can speak for the Center for Family Justice, offer free confidential support. We have support groups. We have 24/7 hotlines. We have domestic violence safe houses. We have now clinical support. We have support for children of all ages, especially with a major focus on middle school and high school students, working with our local schools in our six communities here at the Center for Family Justice that include Bridgeport, Easton, Fairfield, Monroe, Stratford, and Trumbull. It's important that we are really focused in and listening to our clients that come through the doors. But most importantly, let's use the word outreach, raising awareness. Where do I go? Who do I call? Just this weekend, I received a call from someone that I'm very connected with that said, we just had this happen in one of our suburban towns, and this is what's happening to her and her two children. This takes immediate action. So being able to pivot immediately on those concerns is really important. It can't just be, we'll wait for the office to open on Monday.
Right.
This is a 24/7 issue.
And I think it's super important, and we're going to continue to obviously let people know about your resources, and at the end of this, give people your information, including your website. I do want to know, Deb, without obviously giving the identity of anybody, because we would never ask for that, but give us sort of a ballpark answer, if you will. What are you hearing? You were saying you have free, confidential, support groups, things of that nature. What are you hearing is at the core of domestic violence cases in Connecticut? Why is this happening?
Yes. So I wish I had one answer, but there's several. So much comes from a breakdown of a relationship. It could be a change in the household, a change in life. Financial starts at the very tippy top. We know that the uncertainty of someone's job or the loss of a job, where do I go? Especially if you're a parent and you're raising children, what happens? Do people feel and look at, what happens on that breakdown of the relationship? How do I get in front of an expert that can help support them? An agency like ours is not just a one-stop shop. It is more than a one-stop shop. We are connected to well over 30 other nonprofits in the greater Bridgeport region that are experts in specific fields. But because we're a justice center, when you come here, besides speaking to an expert or a counselor, you're also going to be able to have clinical support for the child that's living in that household. We forget sometimes how intuitive kids are, whether they're toddlers or elementary. They hear it, they feel it. They carry that into the classroom, schools back in session. How do we do more training with our educators, getting in the classrooms of schools, being able to really talk to the kids about what a healthy friendship might be? And I can tell you, with the small and very mighty team that we have here at the center, we listen very closely and work with those classroom teachers and work with those students, because we want to be able to provide that support. To be able to listen to some of the things that are being said, whether someone's coming in a counseling room or saying, I just can't do this anymore, what does that mean? And being able to connect to behavioral health experts that we are connected to, whether it's our local hospitals or the nonprofits that can help support the work we do. Right. We see over 5,500 individuals, adults, every single year at the Center for Family Justice. And that is an underreported number.
Yes, it is. I mean, and I will say, not that it's not an accurate number, but it's when you say an underreported, what you mean by that, Deb, is you're saying that there are also a lot of people who are not calling out. So people that are undetected, we don't know, are suffering right now.
Exactly right, yeah. Melissa. And that's why the outreach component of being able to talk about, where do I go? You know, we work here, so we just assume everyone must know that you can get free confidential support, or my goodness, there's a hotline. The answer is no, they don't. And the blessings of it is you didn't need it. But when you need it, you need to know where to go. You need to know who to call. You need to know how to access that, and it needs to be done quickly.
Exactly. And actually,
someone's life.
Someone's life is in the kind of hanging in the balance there. Suicide and intimate partner violence are closely linked, according to U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And studies show survivors of domestic violence are twice as likely to attempt suicide multiple times. We're talking to Deb Greenwood this morning, who is the CEO and president of the Center for Family Justice. We were talking about adults who are impacted directly by domestic or sexual violence. But Deb, what about Connecticut high school students? You have some pretty alarming statistics to share this morning.
Yes. You know, the most recent survey that was done on with the Connecticut School Health Survey included grades 9 through 12. And suicide was a large concern, actually the second biggest concern for kids at this age population. Why? There's so many reasons. We can talk about unhealthy friendships, feeling isolated. We know we use the word bullying. I know that's an old school term, but it exists. So we can call it lots of other things. Feeling disconnected. We know on social media some of the things that have really, I feel, and we know we can document, has driven so many kids that have felt they had nowhere to turn. That we looked at 51% of high school students felt they didn't have a trusted adult that they could speak to. And we know that we have great guidance officers in our schools, being able to talk to your classroom teacher, a coach, someone that is there that you know you can reach out to. 28% of high school students reported having poor mental health in the last month. You know, coming back to school sounds like a fun time, but also a terrifying time, especially if you prior to that not had the best experience. Being able to come and feel wanted and looking at a community, befriending someone that might feel isolated. These are some of the things that might push an individual. We talk about not only the types of intimate partner violence that adults feel, but our young people having potentially not the maturity level to feel, how can I deal with this? Mm-hmm. So bringing prevention education into the classroom, it's not just vital, it's critical, and it can be life-saving. Being able to talk to students and support the school environment is really something an agency like ours has been doing, but needs more behind it to be able to work with our young people.
I also think,
and
though,
we know
Deb,
it does work.
It does work. And the thing too, Deb, that I want to talk about, because I saw a recent, I was going to talk about this actually with you when I see you later this week for a Center for Family Justice event. I came across a family who I do adore. I love the mom and I love her daughter, who is of high school age. And in from what I've learned from people like you, this is a situation where I believe we're seeing the beginnings, if not, I believe, is full-blown coercive control in this relationship, the parents. And the daughter recognizes it. And you know, I was having this conversation with the mom because of a recent incident. And I said, if you don't think your daughter sees what's going on and the message you are giving, which is that, hey, I have to stay in this relationship because of X, Y, or Z, or I'm doing this for you, or I'm doing this for whatever, what that generational, you know, I would say message is showing is not a good one. And obviously, you know, yes, at the school level, certainly for the kids, but I think that where we certainly are trying to bridge that gap is for the adults. I mean, talk about how many times people are in domestic violence incidents where, no, they're not getting hit. They don't have bruises. They have nothing to show for it, but they are getting emotional damage or mental trauma, or coercive control is another one where people don't even recognize, hey, you're in a dangerous relationship and you got to get out of it.
Exactly. And kids model that relationship. Mm-hmm. This is what I grew up in. This is what I see.
Right.
Whether it's our young ladies, our young men, if they feel they need to model that type of behavior, if we're talking about heterosexual relationship, where the dad is the person controlling what's happening. And we know it happens the other way around, too. So it goes both ways.
Sure.
But that being said, we have to remember that this is what our young people are growing up with, and they see and they model it because they feel it is acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're seeing it too,
know,
Deb. Didn't you say that we're seeing in the last few years this has really become a problem on college campuses?
Completely.
Yeah.
And so as we look at why it's so important to get this type of behavior discussed in the classroom and let the kids say what they want to. And I will say, you know, if you've ever had the opportunity, whether it's a middle school or a high school, even our elementary, older elementary kids, but those that can really talk about these topics going in there, they're not afraid to use their voice. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the critical piece. By the time we get to college campuses and we see what happens, and we do have a college campus advocacy unit that goes to the four universities in the greater Bridgeport area, the one thing we hear is, I wish I knew this while I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had discussed this when I was younger, because by the time you're in college, if you misbehave and you misstep, and you are, whether you're a young man or a young woman or whatever those issues are, as we're talking about it, they kind of look at you glazed saying, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get in front of this at a much earlier age so we can start to say this has consequences. Your behavior and how you treat individuals have consequences, just starting very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just having actually a few of my volunteers from my board and myself just Friday afternoon. We're having an incredible conversation about this type of topic, saying let's just start at the very basics and start to talk about how we should treat each other, how we should speak to one another. You know, we talk about kindness, and part of me is, you know, where is it? We see it. We do see it, but we need to model it. We need to show some folks how that looks, because they may not be receiving it every day where they live.
Right.
So it's important that we continue to go back to the very simple basics of here's how we need to treat one another and talk
mm-hmm.
to one another as a friend in a relationship, and what's acceptable and what is not. By the time a young person is off to college, it might just be something like, I didn't know I couldn't say or do that. And they'll find themselves on the other side of the door being shown you can't be here anymore.
Exactly.
Because there are laws that now protect individuals, college students on college campuses.
Exactly. And Deb Greenwood, I want to thank you again as the CEO and president of the Center for Family Justice. I want to let people know that 24/7 help is available. You could start by going to centerforfamilyjustice.org. There you will find the domestic violence and sexual violence hotline. There are also options to do a live chat, email. You could text as well. Again, go to centerforfamilyjustice.org. I also want to let people know, mark your calendars, October 9th, there is a public vigil that is done every year by the Center for Family Justice, again, highlighting the impact of domestic violence, and certainly does tie back to suicide prevention. And so I want to thank you again, Deb, for all of that, and the website for all that information, centerforfamilyjustice.org.